Lazarus is dead. The bluntness of these words of the Lord brought no comfort to the 12. But then Jesus added words that made the mystery still deeper. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. At this point in chapter 11 of John's Gospel, Jesus and the apostles were down by the River Jordan, near where John baptized, and they went there from Jerusalem at the end of chapter 10 because the temple authorities wanted to stone Jesus to death for the crime of blasphemy. It was there by the Jordan that a messenger arrived from Mary and Martha with urgent news for Jesus. His dear friend Lazarus was gravely ill. Instead of returning immediately to Bethany, however, Jesus remained 2 more days down by the Jordan, deliberately waiting for Lazarus to die. Why? Because we are all going to die. After the fall from grace, death is part of the human condition. And even the Messiah did not come to prevent us from dying in this life. And so when Jesus resolved to return to Jerusalem, Thomas said to the other apostles, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." All of the miracles of the Lord Jesus revealed through his mastery over nature, the divine glory of the Father's only begotten Son, hidden for a time under the veil of his human nature. But even God the Son came to suffer and die. And so the signs of Jesus, including the raising of Lazarus, do not put an end to our suffering and death. Instead, Christ transforms the meaning of our suffering and death and raises our sights to understand that however good life is in this created order, it is but the promise of the life to come in the new creation on the last day. The interplay of these two types of life is at the heart of the exchange between Martha and the Lord Jesus. As he approached their home in Bethany, Martha rushed out to meet him with a greeting that is at once a confession of faith and a gentle rebuke. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." In the difficult days ahead, I expect that many of us will experience just such a collision of faith and rebuke in our hearts. People we dearly love will be gravely ill, and some of them are going to die. Perhaps we will die. But those of us who know that Jesus Christ is Lord will still naturally do what Martha and Mary did. Bring to the Lord's attention the danger of death in the hope that lives may be spared. But although miracles do still happen, the Messiah did not come to end our suffering and death, but to suffer and die with us and for us, and by his death and resurrection, deliver us from the grave forever. And so the Lord Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha replied, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." To which the Savior responded, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? This is the fundamental question of all Christian faith and life. Do we believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Word who became man to heal a broken world by the forgiveness of sins and to make all things new by his suffering, death, and resurrection? Martha came to believe these things to be true, as did her sister Mary, and many of those who witnessed the event about to unfold. But even those who know that Jesus Christ is Lord are still touched by grief, because so was the Savior. When Mary learned that Martha was with Jesus near the tomb of their brother, she came out of the house to join them and was followed by a crowd of mourners. They were all sitting Shiva together, and as they approached Jesus, they were all weeping. Tears come to us for many reasons: anger, shame, mirth, shock, pain. But we use the word weep to describe only the tears of grief. When Jesus saw Mary and the crowd of mourners weeping, he was, John tells us, deeply troubled and moved in spirit. And when they came to the tomb, even Jesus wept. He lingered in the desert 2 days precisely so that his friend would die. He already knew that he would restore life to Lazarus in order to reveal his own true identity. And he had just helped Martha to look beyond the grave for the resurrection to eternal life on the last day. And despite all that, Jesus wept. The death of his friend moved him deeply and troubled his heart with grief, because he is a man like us in all things but sin. And so Jesus wept. That should console us when our hearts are troubled, because in the face of death, our grief is softened by being shared. And the Lord Jesus shares the grief of every man, woman, and child who will ever live and die. Finally, Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus and ordered the stone covering to be removed. Martha warned him that her brother had been dead for 4 days, and so the tomb would be filled with the stench of death. Jesus replied, "Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then, after a prayer of thanks and petition to his heavenly Father, Jesus commanded the dead man, "Lazarus, come out." And to the complete astonishment of the crowd, the dead man did walk out of his tomb, still wrapped in burial cloths, but restored to life. In John's Gospel, the raising of Lazarus is the seventh of the signs worked by the Lord Jesus to awaken saving faith in his disciples, with the first sign being the changing of water into wine at a wedding feast. Of that event, John wrote, "This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." But recall what that sign meant for the Lord. When the shortage of wine was pointed out to Jesus by his mother Mary, he answered, "My hour has not yet come." All of the signs of his divine glory lead the Lord Jesus to one destination: the hour of his suffering and death. And now in the sacred liturgy, that hour has arrived. Next week, we will read together the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The raising of Lazarus was the final public event in the ministry of Christ before his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And so now we prepare to share in his Paschal mystery. That we do so this year in the midst of a global health emergency should only sharpen our understanding of the sacred mysteries we celebrate in Holy Week. By dying, he destroyed our death, and by rising, he restored our life. Even in the midst of death, we are in life. If by faith, hope, and love we belong to Christ and have been made by him a new creation through the grace of our baptism. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.